hum of the engine was a lullaby I'd grown up with. For 20 years, the rhythm of the road had been my constant companion, the only sound familiar enough to drown out the ghosts in my head. Tonight, though, the hum felt different, a nervous tremor vibrating through the floorboards of my rig, Old Bess. Maybe it was the desolate stretch of Highway 80, cutting through the Nevada desert like a black vein against pale sand. Or maybe, just maybe, it was the nagging feeling that I wasn't alone, even though I was miles from the nearest town. The dashboard clock glowed 2:17 a.m. I was already behind schedule, pushing hard to make my delivery in Denver by morning. "Just a few more hours, Bess," I muttered, patting the worn leather of the steering wheel. The radio crackled with static, offering nothing but white noise to fill the void. I kept scanning the road ahead, the beam of my headlights slicing through the oppressive darkness. That's when I saw her. A figure stood beside the highway, bathed in the faint glow of the moon. A young woman, slender, with long dark hair that whipped around her face in the desert wind. She held out her thumb, a silent plea in the vast emptiness. Rules were rules. I wasn't supposed to pick up hitchhikers. Company policy. But something about the way she stood there, so small and vulnerable against the immensity of the desert night, gnawed at me. I'd been young and desperate once, hitching rides myself, relying on the kindness of strangers. I weighed my options, the pros and cons battling in my head. The pros, for once, won. I slowed Old Bess to a stop, the gravel crunching beneath the tires. As I rolled down the window, she approached, her face still obscured by shadows. "Thanks," she said, her voice soft, almost hesitant. "I appreciate it. My car broke down a few miles back. No cell service out here." "Hop in," I said, trying to sound gruff but failing miserably. "Going east?" She nodded, a wisp of a smile playing on her lips. "As far as you're going." She climbed into the cab, and the scent of wildflowers, oddly out of place in the desert, filled the air. She was wearing a simple denim jacket and jeans, her face pale in the dim light of the cab. "I'm Sarah," she said, extending a hand. "John," I replied, shaking her hand. Her grip was surprisingly strong. "So, car trouble, huh? What happened?" "Engine trouble," she shrugged. "Nothing I could fix, just hoping to get to the next town." We drove in silence for a while, the only sound the drone of the engine. I couldn't shake the feeling that she was watching me, even though she was gazing out the window at the passing landscape. "You heading to Denver?" she asked after a while, her voice still soft. "Yeah," I replied. "Big load of... well, it doesn't matter." "You seem uneasy," she said, turning her head to look at me directly. Her eyes were dark, almost black in the dim light. "Long night," I said, forcing a chuckle. "Just trying to stay awake." We drove on. The silence stretched, thick and uncomfortable. I glanced at Sarah again. She was still staring at me, her expression unreadable. That's when I saw it. Reflected in the glow of the dashboard lights, a glint of metal in her lap. A knife, a wicked-looking hunting knife, held loosely in her hand. My heart slammed against my ribs. Adrenaline surged through my veins. I gripped the steering wheel tighter, my knuckles white. "What's that?" I asked, my voice barely a whisper. She didn't answer. Her eyes remained fixed on mine, a strange, almost predatory glint in their depths. "Sarah," I said, my voice firmer this time, "what are you doing with that knife?" Her lips curled into a slow, deliberate smile. "I think you know, John." The blood ran cold in my veins. I knew this was no stranded traveler. This was a setup, a trap. My mind raced, searching for a way out. I was miles from anywhere, trapped in a metal box with a woman who clearly had intentions that were far from good. I glanced at the speedometer. 60 miles an hour, too fast to jump, too slow to outmaneuver her if she attacked. "What do you want?" I asked, trying to keep my voice steady. "Money?" "I don't have much." She laughed, a hollow, chilling sound that echoed in the cramped cab. "Money?" You think this is about money? She leaned closer, the glint of the knife reflecting in my eyes. This is about something much more satisfying. I knew then that I had to act, and act fast. I feigned a cough, reaching for the water bottle on the dashboard. As I did, I slammed on the brakes hard. Old Bess lurched violently, tires screeching against the asphalt. Sarah was thrown forward, the knife slipping from her grasp and clattering to the floor. Before she could recover, I reached across her, grabbing the door handle. I yanked it open, throwing her out of the truck and onto the side of the road. She landed hard, scrambling to her feet, her eyes filled with rage. But I didn't wait. I slammed the door shut, jammed the accelerator, and Old Bess roared back to life. I didn't look back. I couldn't. I just drove, my hands shaking, my heart pounding in my chest. I stared straight ahead. The image of Sarah's face burned into my memory. It took me a long time to slow down, to regain my composure. I pulled over to the side of the road, my body trembling, and took a deep breath, then another, trying to calm my racing heart. I was alive. I'd escaped. But the memory of Sarah's eyes, the cold steel of the knife, would haunt me for a long time. I drove the rest of the way to Denver in a daze, the hum of the engine no longer a soothing lullaby, but a constant reminder of how close I had come to the edge. The sun was just beginning to rise as I pulled into the loading dock, the city skyline shimmering in the distance. I delivered my load, went through the motions, but my mind was still back on that deserted stretch of highway with Sarah's face looming in the darkness. I knew I should report it. Call the police, tell them what happened. But something held me back. A feeling that I didn't understand, a sense of shame, a guilt that perhaps I had brought it on myself by breaking the rules. I drove Old Bess away from Denver. I didn't know where I was going. All I knew was that I needed to get away, to find some peace, some quiet, some way to silence the ghosts that now screamed in my head. The highway stretched before me, endless and unforgiving, and I knew, with a chilling certainty, that I would never look at a hitchhiker the same way again. The kindness of strangers, I'd learned, could have a very dark side.